So the previous, I don't think I even have the previous slide. No, I don't. But I'm going to go back to the map. That's what it's called, map. And when we look at this, where we're at right now, in Mark 7 and Matthew, was it 15? I forgot. Matthew 15, yeah. When we look at that, we understand that Jesus has just gotten through traveling a sort of a fur piece. This was talking about that they were in Capernaum and the crowds were all over him or something like that. And he says, let's retire to a desert place or a deserted place or something like that. That's American Standard uses desert place. Of course, most of this place is not desert. And so it appears that they went somewhere over to the east, perhaps to Bethsaida, which is right here. And they have a plain of Bethsaida that's up in here. And then the thing with the swine happened, and then also the people came flocking out from the cities, and he healed them and such alike as that. You look at Mark 6, verse 56. Yeah. It says they came in verse 53 of Mark 6, it says they had crossed over, and they came unto the land unto Gennesaret. Now, Gennesaret is over here. So, I measured this distance on Google Earth, and it says it's like 6 miles. So it's not a whole heap of distance as long as you're going, you know, as the crow flies. Of course, if you're rowing a boat, it may take a while, and it took them a while because they ran into a storm and such alike as that. But the text is rather confusing to me as to how they went from where to where. Seems like they went from here to here to there and then to here, but I'm not sure how they got from here to there. So, but right now, on what we're looking at right now, we're in the plain of Gennesaret. Yeah. So the Sea of Galilee here is called several different things. So it's called the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and I believe it's also called the Sea of Gennesaret. So, and I looked at some stuff that showed me what the etymology of that was, but I don't remember any of it, and it's not really relevant anyway. So, just imagine we're here on the on the side of the Sea of Galilee in the plain of Gennesaret, probably just pretty much on the shoreline. So when we go to Matthew, the 15th chapter, go back over to Matthew for a second on this one. And so when they got over there to the plain of Gennesaret, it just calls it Gennesaret, I think, in Mark. Where does it say? Oh, it's, yeah, once again, verse 53 of Mark 6. Crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. When they come out the boat straightway, the people knew him and ran round about that whole region and began to carry on their beds those that were sick. And wheresoever he entered into villages or into cities or into the country, they laid the sick on the marketplaces and besought him that they might, if it were but touch the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. So apparently he's been over here on the west side of the Sea of Galilee for at least a few days, because it said that he went around to various cities over there in that area. So while he's over there in this area of Galilee, he's preaching the gospel, and and healing those that are ill. He's then approached by the Pharisees and scribes. So in Mark it says the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, and in Matthew it says Pharisees and scribes. So, yes, Randy.
It says they came from Jerusalem.
They came from Jerusalem.
So on that map, I noticed that map shows all the travel routes with a red line. And I'm just assuming that that's what that is. That's the main travel route coming from the south to the north.
Seems reasonable because this is a pretty rough area down here.
Yeah. So I'm just assuming that they intentionally, they were looking for him.
Right.
The scribes and Pharisees came from Jerusalem.
Yes.
So they could try and trick him into saying something they could crucify him for.
Yeah. Well, and they couldn't find anything, and they still crucified him, is my understanding. Okay. This one here looks, if we were able to expand this map, it would look to me like that it goes, it's going to end up going through Samaria, but there may be a, it may take a switch back over here somewhere. I don't know. Okay, thank you. Let's just leave it there. We don't need that. That's the reason that I have it, it's because I've got my notes over there. It's going to get irritating now. My computers are against me tonight.
Do you want me to read one of these?
Stand by. I'm actually trying to make my stupid computer work. Yes, if you would be so gracious if you would read Matthew 15, 1 through 20.
Sure. Matthew 15, 1 through 20. And some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, but they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God and say in your tradition? God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that will help you has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' Jesus said, 'Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man.'"
All right. So to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. And that's where it started off, way up back in verse 1. It says, or verse 2, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?" So where do we find in the Old Testament the commandment to wash our hands before we eat? Well, it's got to be there. I mean, it's a tradition of the elders, right? And that's what it is. Now, the word tradition is used throughout the Bible in a couple of ways. One is it's talking actually about Scripture and the commandments of God. But in other areas, as the context shows, we're not talking about the Word of God. We're talking, as they say, the traditions. In other words, the elders put these things together and they wrote them down. There's a couple of well-codified books, the Mishnah and the something or other. The Torah are the first five books of the Bible, and then there's the Mishnah and something else, and these are rabbinical writings over hundreds of years. And they went through all sorts of things. And so one of the things that they did was that they took the ceremonial washings that the priests and Levites needed to do before they made sacrifices at the temple. They took those and expanded them out to the whole general population and said, unless you do this, you're in violation of the traditions of the elders because Rabbi so-and-so said this. And that's all that it is the writings of men. And they've violated the scriptures here. There was a book that I was reading. I think I mentioned it probably in here before. I believe it's the one called The Source by James Michener. And it goes from, it starts off by them doing an excavation on a tell in Israel. And so they're going down through the levels. And then he starts telling the story of the people that lived there from the early times up and through and all that sort of stuff. And he talks about some of some of these traditions that they did. And one of the more ridiculous ones, and it may have been in another book, but he was talking here about Jerusalem, said that in order to get around the idea of a Sabbath day's journey, whatever that was, they came to the tradition of the elders that as long as you remained undercover, you were okay. So they would, you see the old West movies and the people are walking down the sidewalk, as it were, in their boots with the wood on the floor and it's covered by the overhang for the store or whatever they're walking under. They would do that just like for miles. And they would put coverings across the street so you could cross the street, because I think there was some traditional prohibition against crossing the street to getting to where you needed to go. You go, oh, wait a minute, I left the coffee pot on in my house and now I'm across the street and I can't cross the street. So they did all sorts of weird things, but all of this was sort of codified in the Mishnah and the other thing, if I could think of what it was. Torah is the first five books of the Bible.
First five books. But all of them is about the same thing.
The Pentateuch is just another name for that.
Right.
Yeah, the Pentateuch, yes, another name for the
right.
First five books of the Bible.
But you're talking about Talmud?
The Talmud, yes, the Talmud. The Mishnah and the Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say what the Talmud is? Did you look that?
I didn't find specifically what it said, but it did mention the Talmudic era from 70 to 630, current era.
Current era, wow.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, all of them is about the same thing. They have different names. That they
use. Well, there's specific.
And there's two specific books that they use.
They refer to specific different things.
And the Torah was not one of them. The Torah was written by God.
That's
so. So. Yeah. So that. Did you have a commentary? No. Okay. So these things were written by men, and so now the Pharisees and the scribes are upset with him because the Pharisees and scribes notice that his disciples are not washing their hands ceremoniously. That's not to say that they didn't dip their hands in the Sea of Galilee and scrub them off. They're talking about a ceremonial thing. One of the reference materials that I was reading said that that they would essentially, before they were doing anything that they could even remotely describe as religious, they would take a bath, a full bath. So, and apparently the people who were very religious about this did this every day. So, kind of like what I hear people do today. Let me go jump in the shower. Okay. Randy.
This passage in chapter 15, Matthew 15, he immediately changes the subject.
Yes, he does.
You know, they say, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands when they eat. And he says, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to another subject. Like, I'm not going to talk about the washing of hands. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, there's a command, one of the big ten. One of the ten commandments is to honor your father and your mother. But you say, to
right.
paraphrase, give your money to the temple or we'll take care of your parents.
Yep.
And he said, but, and then it's the most telling part, I think, is in verse 5. He says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, what I have, whatever I have or help you has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this, you've invalidated the word of God, the sacred tradition.
Right.
And those are some harsh words. Mm-hmm. He just accused them of invalidating the word of God with their traditions.
It almost sounds like some religions today.
Almost. It's exactly
what yeah, it is. And I don't see anything, at least in the scriptures here in the Gospels, that indicated that the money that they gave to the temple would be used for the helping of the parents or anything like that. It just seems to me that they're just throwing it away. And they're abandoning their parents. Pardon?
He's accusing them.
Right.
Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to help you. I'm going to give my money to the temple.
Right. You're going to give it to the temple. And you guys are just going to go live in a cardboard box in the street
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, but the thing is that we've been commanded to, like you said, honor our father and our mother. Linda, you've had a look on your face for the last 5 minutes.
What? Well, it's just that they seem to be so big on showing how religious and righteous that they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I am giving this to God.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you just showed disrespect to God because you didn't do what he said first.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it's wonderful that, you know, you want to give to God, but if you throw out his commands, then you are not showing respect or love to God.
Right.
You're doing it to be seen as men.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's like and it's already been alluded to at least once this evening that churches, including people of the Lord's Church, have decided that they'll do things their way rather than God's way. We're going to set up a food pantry. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And you go, that's not what the gospel set up. That's not what the Bible, the New Testament, set up as far as the church goes. We have to remain with the pattern. God showed us what the pattern was, just like he showed Noah what the pattern was when he built the ark. And he said, see that you make it according to the pattern that's been showed you. When he talked to Moses, he told him to make sure that the temple or that the tabernacle was built according to the pattern that he had shown them. So we need to follow the pattern. And unfortunately, there are so many people that just decide that they'll make their own pattern or they'll make a supplemental pattern and say, well, you know, God's railway is going this way and I'm just parallel to it. You go, yeah, if you're not on the road, it doesn't do you any good. because this road is straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. I put too many letters in that. And it means straightened. Yeah. So it's the only way you can go. It's how many people wide?
One man wide.
And so, but these other people, they want to scurry around over here. Yeah, LaTanya.
And how many people, they think they really doing something good for God. And I was just talking to a sister, and she was saying how they had a clothes ministry, all these kind of ministries. I said, I don't know if you know that in Scripture. I said, you should be doing that, but you cannot read in Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, a lot of them just don't think about it. When I've met up with people that are from that persuasion, that feel that they can do anything they want to, that all they've heard about people that feel that they need to have biblical authority for everything they do, they just call them antis. They're just against everything, you know, orphan beaters. Yeah, Jenny.
Every time when something like this comes up, it makes me think of 1 Samuel 15:22.
1 Samuel 15:22, yeah.
And Samuel says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." And that's essentially exactly what's happening in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, where you're talking about having to fund more burnt offerings and sacrifices instead of obeying the Lord.
Yes, sure. Right. Yeah. We'll burn all the cows and we'll burn all the sheep. That will make us even more righteous. And, yeah. But they're not. What was it? In the American Standard Version, is ye tithe men, anise, and cumin, and leave undead the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. But these you ought to have done, and not to have left the other undone. So, but here we're looking at, you know, we got the tithe, mint, anise, and cumin, and justice, mercy, and faith. But now we've got a third lump of, I'll do what we want to do. We'll drop hamburgers from a helicopter, or something like that. Yeah. It's interesting to sometimes read the pamphlets that the people from the First Baptist town out here.
The compound,
yeah. Put in your doorway, and you look at those and you go, wow, where do they get off with this? Yeah.
I think some think, well, you know, things were a certain way back then, and God didn't foresee all the things that are happening today. He didn't have he didn't need to tell them that, because these things hadn't, you know, they weren't in need back then, and somehow God didn't know that this was coming. So we've got to, you know, step in and invent these new things, and talk about, you know, not believing that God is sovereign and omnipotent and omniscient and everything else, which just kind of blows your mind.
Yeah, right.
And talking about the pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get quite a few of them. In fact, at one time we had four neighbors who all attended there, and then the bus showed up across the street because he was the driver, and so he, you know, had it ready to go on Sunday morning. And but there's, you know, there's the Easter egg hunt, and there's Veterans Sunday, and the honoring this and that. And they have a restaurant out there. He showed us the menu.
Oh, really?
It's called The Point. And the college students out there can work in the restaurant, and just on and on and on. All these things that are, you know, worldly ventures. I mean, anybody can open a restaurant, but that's not the work of the church, and so on. And they just think, oh, we have this ready-made organization. We'll just do it all here. But
right.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Linda?
Why did the Lord throw out the money changers and you know, from the temple?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because
that's not temple's business.
No, that's right. Yeah.
That's not open. So.
You make my father's house a den of robbers, right?
Right.
So, which goes a certain way to explaining what maybe some of those sellers were doing when he specifically calls them robbers. So you've got people that are in Jerusalem and say, "Oh, I forgot my microphone. I got such a deal. I got one for you. It'll be $150." Yeah. So, yeah. Are you going to charge me that much to bring it?
I give you a discount.
Okay. Parental discount. All right. I don't know what I was even talking about. But anyway, so tradition of the elders. So there's so many traditions that they had and so many things in the Mishnah and the Talmud. So I guess the Mishnah is earlier than the Talmud. If the Talmud was from as you said, from 40 to 400 or something like that.
Talmud says 70 to 640. 70. The Mishnah is predating the year 200. So there may be some overlap.
Okay. So it's probably just, these books are probably just extensions of what they had. But one of the reference materials that I was looking at indicated that the people that were trying to enforce these traditions of the elders were equating them to the same thing as the Word of God. In other words, this is the Word of God. Or go.
Don't do this, and you're sinning against God.
Against God, right. Not just sinning against us, you're sinning against God. So, well, we just... They should be asking for book, chapter, and verse, but I guess... Randy?
Matthew 23. Just before he goes into his diatribe and calling them all hypocrites. But he starts in verse 1, when Jesus spoke to the crowd and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. They say things and do not do them."
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts. The hypocrisy starts with that. But when he says they've seated themselves in the chair of Moses, they are legislating. They're giving laws.
Yes. Right.
So they're not only quoting the law, quoting the law of Moses, when the law of Moses was read in synagogues and the temple. That part was right.
Mm-hmm.
But seating themselves in the chair of Moses means they're now legislating laws.
Yes.
And that's what he accuses them of.
What was the passage we read last time that was used the word presumptive over and over? Was that
presumptuous? Presumptuous sins when we presume that our ideas are as good as God's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a comment, Linda?
Well, I looked up the Talmud, and one of the things that they referenced in my dictionary was the Halacha and the Haggadah. And the Halacha is the rabbinical law of custom, which was developed beside the written Torah or law of Moses. It was distinguished from the Haggadah as being the legal part of the oral tradition of the scribes, including their expositions of the Torah and the additional laws which were recognized as binding by the Jews after the exile. But the Haggadah is what they've come up with on their own, evidently.
Oh.
It's probably called the narrative or legend. The name for that part of the traditions of the Jewish scribes, consisting of the elaboration of the historical and didactic portions of the scripture, as contrasted with the Halacha, which confined itself to the exposition and application of the text. Its handling of the scripture is unrestrained.
it freely admits additions and interpolations, including legends.
Hmm. Yeah, so instead of just...
Here it says in quotes, there was but one rule for the investigator. The right of making anything of a passage which his wit and understanding enabled him.
Oh. Well, that's written in English like we use all the time.
Well.
Yeah. But, yeah. So we see that these things have been carried on like forever. A lot of it apparently happened at the return from Babylonian captivity. Went on from there type thing. Somebody water the clock.
Somebody got here late with the microphone.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it. So.
Anyway, I just found that very interesting that they see a differentiation, but it seems to me like that they've managed to work their interpretations and
interpolations. Jenny.
Well, I think that we spend a lot of time saying, "Oh, well, they do this and they do this and they do this," and it's easy to see how it could get that way.
Yeah.
That you have these laws, and as you go along, you say, okay, well, I think this is actually the best way of making sure that you get this. Like, this is where the line is that you shouldn't cross. And so I think if you put your own personal line here, then you'll never make it to that line. And that would be better. And so that starts getting passed down, and we have that tendency to do that as well. We find an umbrella, and we put things under that umbrella. We're commanded to be wise, to not be foolish. And so we say, oh, I think this is wise. I think it would be wise for you to not go to this questionable place. And under that umbrella of you should be wise, we say, okay, now it's sinful for you to go to that place.
Oh, yeah.
Not that may not be the best choice, but absolutely you can never be there ever for any reason. And so it's not just them that have this problem. We have them amongst ourselves.
Yeah. 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 Like what Mickey coming out of the liquor store, was it?
Oh.
After getting something, I forget what it was. Somebody was driving by and saw him coming out. He heard about it. So, yeah. And we have our own traditions, you know. One song of prayer, two songs, the Lord's Supper, sermon, invitation song, prayer.
Well, and we have traditions like we have services twice on Sundays, and we have a midweek Bible study, and now we're adding in, there's a ladies class on Monday, and there's a Romans class on Tuesday, and eventually it gets to the point where you start saying, if you can't make it to these things, you're sinning.
That's right.
Yeah. 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 So in the Romans class, yeah, well, we have a list of sinners.
I'm on it, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that's true. So you can study the Bible with other people every day of the week. So what, Chris has got one on Thursday. And right now, as far as I know, Friday's free for everybody. But,
I'm sure we could find one for every hour of every day, but we can't enforce that you have to go to those. At some point, people have to work.
Right.
Yeah.
They do?
That's what I hear. Some of us are on disability.
Okay. So.
Well, and like you said, it's wise or maybe a good idea to participate as often as you can because we want to build up our Christian faith and, you know, stick close to our Christian lives and not go astray. And what helps us with that is to be with other believers and to study all that we can. But it's certainly not you know, there's no book, chapter, and verse for, you know, twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday, and all 30 notes. But it's there and available.
Yes. Yeah.
And the people who, I've known people who say, oh, I really want to, you know, I want to know more, but then here's, you know.
Opportunities.
Opportunities.
Yeah.
And, I don't know their schedules and things like that. Mm-hmm. They have kids at home or something and or whatever. But, we certainly can't guilt people into coming because we think they should.
Yeah.
It's just something.
So we've made a lot of progress tonight. I think we got down to like the second verse of this, this book. So we'll continue on with bullet point number two. Or maybe we considered everything that needed to be considered about bullet point number.
No.
Ceremony and defilement. Well, okay. Well, all right. Fine.
Really quickly, I looked up a word because I remember it from college and probably haven't used it since then. But interpolate. One of the meanings, well, first meaning is to alter or corrupt like a text by inserting new or foreign matter, and then specifically to insert words into a text or a conversation or insert things between other things. And anyway, so that kind of relates to what you were saying.
So when statements interpolated and said that thou shalt not surely die, then, you know, that's an interpolation.
Okay. I interpolate at work all the time. So fuel tables, center of gravity tables, all of those things. So, yeah. Gravitational attraction of the Earth. So, anyway. All right. So, bullet point number two next week.